Counsels to Students, Glendale Sanitarium, Los Angeles, California, 1906. Wednesday morning. I may not be able to speak to you and wish to bear my testimony to each one who is seeking to pursue his studies in the ministry of healing. Men and women can act an important part now, just now, for time and for eternity. We are surely to think soberly and righteously, for the great day of God is at hand. Prophecies are fulfilling. The last great conflict will be short and decisive. Old controversies will be revived. I have a message to every student. It is one thing to be religious, but quite another thing to be a Christian. Neither Sister White nor any other mortal can make your character. You have to have sufficient interest in your own soul's salvation to feel you cannot run any risk in this important matter. Pray. Pray daily with the whole heart and soul and mind and voice for one object. That light divine shall shine from Christ to your soul to heal every crookedness in your character. Light and strength of purpose you must have, until every chamber of your moral being is lifted up heavenward, and light from Christ illuminates the mind as the bright shining of an undimmed candle. I beg of every one of you to clean out from your library fictitious stories, and to keep your mind clean from all love ditties, rubbish, and trash. You can help one another by each keeping your own soul in the love of God. Be true to your own present spiritual interest. You cannot afford to be careless and untrue to your soul's best and highest interest. I ask, are you converted from selfishness, from all crookedness of actions and character? Are you striving day by day to be true to your God? If you keep an eye single in all your words and in all the performance of your work, then you will keep your eye on the pattern, Christ Jesus. When Christ is ever kept before the mind's eye for the purpose of obeying every word of direction He has given us in His Word, the power given of God will draw you away from temptations to serve the true and living God. All your profession of faith will be worthless unless you practice it. You must have truth in the inward parts of the soul. There is a much larger experience for every one of us in following after the divine pattern. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look unto Jesus. As you are doing your work for unbelievers, keep your heart uplifted to God that He shall give you words to speak in season to those who are not in the faith. In the consciousness of the precious truth made known to us, we have peace and power and grace to exemplify Christ, whom we profess to serve, honor, and glorify. Here, then, we have peace and power with God. We are not all constituted alike in character. Let no one feel authorized to pick flaws in another's character, but his own character is his to mold and correct, reform and discipline in this school, preparatory for the higher school above. To learn of Christ through the ceaseless ages of eternity, we must become His little children to learn of Him here. Are you only religious, and do you stop there, or are you constantly learning how to be Christ-like, pure, clean, and undefiled? When you love the Bible truth in practice, you will be the happiest beings in the world. This is the only way we can be Christ-like, and if we all with open face behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord Jesus, we reflect His divine likeness upon all around us. Paul was a religious man before his conversion, but it was a false religion. If we lose sight of Christ, we may be cruel, false witnesses. In all your speech and in all your works, you are to be obedient to the word of the Lord.
Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 to 9. Let the word of the God be the man of your counsel. These words are words to be studied. They are not false science. They are words of truth and righteousness. This is the true science. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Deuteronomy 4, verse 21. Here we see what an offense it is for men who occupy responsible positions to lose their self-control. The people were constantly charging all their disappointments and sufferings to him. And here, Moses became provoked, and therefore, they thought they had a good right to be provoked. But the Lord's rebuke to Moses evidenced how he regards any exhibition of irritation in words or spirit as setting a wrong example which leads others to make excuses. The patient leader had prevailed with God time and again in saving Israel from receiving the just consequence of their sins. Now the Lord must engage in controversy with him when he would have saved him from this exhibition of anger against the people that provoked him so many times by their murmuring. Moses had never before shown by losing his patience that he, as a man, subject to like passions as were the children of Israel. He had suffered much. The Lord was very much grieved with Moses. In order to give the correct impression upon the minds of the people, he must show impartiality. And Moses had repeated to the children of Israel that God would not tolerate or pass over the sins of those whom he had signally honored. Moses must die and never with his natural human sight look upon the land of Canaan. All who walk in the light will reveal a mind and heart sensitive to any evil work. We are all to take care how we walk and be sure that the light of the world, and no false, misleading light, is our light. By walking in the light, as Christ is in the light, we follow where Christ leads and gain elasticity in running in the way of God's commandments. Time is too precious to devote to misleading scientific problems that are soon to flood the world. I call upon every man and woman who has a knowledge of the truth. There is one path of science that is safe for you to travel. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Was the question asked by the lawyer. The scribes and Pharisees who prompted him were hoping the answer would be of a character that would give them an opportunity to take advantage and condemn Christ. The Lord Jesus returns his answer to the lawyer. What is written in the law? How readest thou? And the lawyer answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Said Christ, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Luke 10, verse 25-28. Yes, he should have that life that measures with the life of God. The word of the Lord is sure. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul from all evil devising, from all scheming, from all crookedness in deal. Psalm 19, verse 7. Not a tinge of selfish, scientific, satanic artifice is to be woven in, to form the figures of the pattern. We have the invitation, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Here is an experience that each individual soul must gain for himself. Position does not make the man, but the man may do great honor to Christ in wearing his yoke, in manifesting his meekness and his lowliness of mind. Christ came to stand at the head of humanity, to reveal that humanity may be continually improving, to become one with Christ under his control. By beholding him in speech, in patience, in good works, he comes to be like him in the formation of his character. The crooked kinks are straightened. There are several that would be pleased to act a part in the work of these institutions as physicians and as nurses and helpers, and gladly would we encourage everyone if we had clear light to distinguish who should be encouraged, who would not disappoint us. We cannot possibly make men or women fitted for such responsibilities. Our sanitariums are to reach a very much higher standard than any of our sanitariums that have existed. It is not the high name and reputation of any medical practitioner that meets the mind of the Spirit of God. The Lord has humble men who will submit to be molded and fashioned after the divine pattern for the work of our institutions. Every man and woman, if crooked and perverse in character, must needs take themselves in hand and straighten out the kinks in themselves and act like men that are working for our Lord. God holds fast to all who will walk in the light, not of misleading scientific problems, but of a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." Not a thread of selfishness is to compose the figures of the web. Those who prefer to follow the steps of any leader who mingles dishonest practices in his life will have an experience that separates them from God. Those who follow on to know the Lord and follow on in the path of righteousness, self-denial, and self-sacrifice will become more and more earnest and will follow their leader, Jesus Christ, with a pure, practical zeal. Walk in the light while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. John 12, verse 35. Walking in the light is the wholehearted endeavor to please God and obey the truth made plain by God's miracle-working power in our past experience of half a century. Hearty and loving endeavor to please God and do His commandments is walking in the light. Every subterfuge by which men are seeking to cover up the crooked ways of a false religious showing will be no help to those who wish to know what is truth. God will bless all those who are catching the divine rays of light from the instruction Christ has given. Their unselfish hearts' desires will be attended with assurance, comfort, and hopefulness. The graces of heavenly origin will be developed and matured by exercise. Walking and working in the way of the commandments of God, the life will be so clean and so pure that many will be attracted to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. The gladness of the heartfelt assurance, of the demeanor and cleanness of the example will be marked, and the trembling footsteps of men who are loitering will receive an impetus from our inspiring example and will be led in the same direction. We are every one of us now being tested and tried in all our dealing, in every transaction of life. Those who seek to cover themselves with the garment of their own righteousness and sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb will all be asked, "Friend, how camest thou in hither without the wedding garment I had prepared for all who are my guests?" Scientific problems will not cure the sin of a single soul, nor hide its deformity. Careless and worldly professed religionists are sizing up people in their business transactions. The keen-sighted who have worked for their own advantage are distinguished as those not having on the wedding garment. The souls who hold fast to the principles of the truth obtain the confidence of even worldly men. They see an excellence of principle and admire the consistent course of action which they themselves do not follow. God is striving with many hearts who have taken in the shallow, inconsistent conduct of men whose names have been exalted, and many will take their position with true believers. Women will become teachers to bear the sacred, pure, uncontaminated message to churches and bodies of people. They will hear from the voices of many, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Ruth 1, verse 16.
Young men will present themselves for a chance to take hold of some work in connection with our offices, in connection with our sanitariums, and there must be a school that will not tie up our youth to have to hear coming from the lips of leaders sentiments that will set them on the wrong track. God demands of His followers that their path shall be brightness, not gloom, because they are connected with Him who is the light of the world. Christ has left an example of a consistent course for all to follow in his footsteps. "They that follow me," he has said, "shall not walk in darkness." John 8, verse 12. "Walk in the light, as I am in the light." All crooked steps that lead to dishonesty in practice are doing great harm to the cause of truth. The inconsistencies of those who are following another leader are pointed to and spoken of by the enemies of our faith as men who can connive at evil practices. God calls for every man who professes to believe the truth to act as Christ has given him an example in his life. Let all bear in mind that every action bears the inspection of God. If any man, however exalted his profession, shall deviate to act unrighteously, and with bribes tempts the unwary to carry out his wishes, let your soul abhor his practice. Walk in the light of true rectitude. All the study of Satan's subtle productions of scientific problems leads only to evil. In that great day of final reckoning, there stand arrayed young men and young women who bear their testimony that with bribes they were led into false paths to secure the advantages of superior wages. Let all walk in the light. Notwithstanding your tempter may be in a high position of influence, resist the temptation. Walk in the light as Christ is in the light, and keep your conscience clear. Let not the infidel sentiments cloaked with scriptural words, taken away from their true place, and put in the wrong place to weave false figures in the pattern, be taken up by any mind. Keep your soul clean, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Walk in the light of straightforward truth. Let all who name the name of Christ and claim to be believers in Christ depart from the least sinful proposition made to you to follow wrong steps and practices, for they will lead you to evil from which you may never recover. Walk worthy of Christ. His example is before you. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4, verse 1. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Speak and act the truth without one semblance of deceptive practices. Let your words, your clean, worthy deportment, be your recommendation. To the heedless and those who are out of the way, say, by precept and example, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Numbers 10, verse 29. In doing just what Christ has told you to do, you are always safe. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John 12, verse 35. If you listen to the deceptive words, you will suppose error is truth and the truth is a mistake. Some are right there today, deceiving and being deceived. When you listen to the sophistries coming in these last days, you are far from God. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not that the objectionable theories of satanic origin have been planted as seeds in the soil previously prepared for that seed, because he turned away from the words of the true counselor. He will take one turning and then another turning, yet insisting he is not at all led astray, while he is missing the right path and is on the wrong track. And unless he shall receive the light and the cautions the Lord has given him, he will miss the true path while he supposes he is walking safely and can preach theories of truth. He becomes mystified as to what is really the truth, for his soul has received the seed which will bear tares. Oh, if these precious souls will cut the bands that bind them in specious errors, and will heed the cautions I now give simply to trust the Word of God, and cut away from men who have occupied their minds in studying problems of science, opening the door for Satan to come in and to confuse the mind and judgment in spiritual things. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 to 22, 26 to 28. These warnings come down along the line to our time. If there was not any danger of our heeding the leading of other gods, we should not have such repeated warnings of the danger of the people of God doing this very evil thing. I warn all concerning those who so often have the scientific problems on their lips. Be afraid of their influence. You will need to study the words of Christ and practice His words, which will lead you to be guarded against these delusive sentiments, which are coming to be a common reference with those who have been studying these things for years and have bound themselves up with them so that the teachings of Christ seem very tame to them, as they do not practice the simplicity of godliness in all righteous dealing. They show they have another counselor, the one who deceived the heavenly angels in the holy courts of heaven. Our brethren who now suppose themselves sound in the faith are in positive danger, through the sophistries of satanic influences, of undermining their faith and exchanging the simplicity of truth for false science that leads to infidel sentiments. What commission has Christ given just before His ascension? Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. What shall we teach the people? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Acts 2, verse 42, 43. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verses 44 to 47. This is the teaching that will come from men who are imbued with the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16, verse 7 to 15. These are the teachings that will be coming forth from sanctified lips. If the study of science, so-called, was essential to give the mind as its food, why did not Christ specify it distinctly? Of His last prayer to His Father before entering upon His great conflict of suffering and death, we read, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." John 17, verse 1, 2. This was the lesson prayer for His disciples, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Verse 3. Read this prayer, all you who have had your minds drawn away from the plain, clear, self-evident truth to catch up with science.
The very specious temptations of Satan are like the serpent represented as speaking. The fallen foe deals in his science today as verily and in the same way as when he deceived Adam and Eve. He has filled minds with scientific problems. Satan coiled himself in disguise to lead our first parents to question and distrust God.
and every soul who has accepted the study of scientific problems is just as surely in the deception of satanic agencies as were Adam and Eve. Some have gone so far that they will never come to their right mind. They know not the truth and the power of God. In this deceptive science, men have given themselves up to the devil to be educated, that they may have the power of seductive, false science. Satan has deceived doctors, and he continues to deceive with theories that create infidels. For years, they have been sowing the devil's seed in exalting science above the God of all. For years, some have been studying these delusive, infatuating theories. Has this science made them men of truth? Has it created in them a spirit after the divine similitude? Deal with this false science as it deserves, for this absorbing science is just the very same delusive snare that led Adam and Eve astray and resulted in their believing the words of satanic origin. Following these scientific problems ends in making Christ, the Prince of Life, our God, nothingness. Take up your work appointed of God, medical missionaries. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, unless he repents and is converted. If you cling to any man and exalt him, and that man is not an honor to God, he will draw you into the net of his delusions. Let all medical missionaries break the spell, for it is a life and death question with you, and I am made the messenger of God to tell you this. By all the means of spiritual culture, through the Holy Spirit's instruction, break away from men who have been sowing the seeds of doubt and infidelity in human minds and mingling in the tares with the wheat. I have the word from God that men, who are so ready to catch up new theories that people do not understand, lead to the undermining of faith, as Satan, under the guise of a serpent, undermined the faith of Adam and Eve in Eden. Every soul is to watch everything that comes in as new light, which in tracing it out, leads you to give up the light which the Lord attested to be light during the past half a century, the precious light God has given point by point to His people. Take precious care of that light, given point by point under the working of the Holy Spirit of God, and which has been held all these years as the truth. It has stood the test of all kinds of isms and false science. These special revelations of God that made you weep and rejoice and lighted up your countenance with the light of life are truth today. Sacred, holy truth that Satan has been trying to impeach for years. God has left His truth and its history in publications which are truth today. He has made known that we must revive the history of the past as given to God's people. Satan will work upon human minds to bring in specious theories that will dishonor God by trying to tear away the pillars of our faith. They cannot do this, but they suppose they can. Take these testimonies and let the dead speak. Let the voice be heard from the old messengers whom God has sent and who stood firmly for the truth. They fought the battles under the Prince of Heaven, and now, when voices arise with some wonderful new theories, and men will so misinterpret Scripture as to unsettle the faith of the people and create the message, "My Lord delayeth His coming," Matthew 24, verse 48, when all kinds of science will be introduced as new light, Christ calls for true men to rally around the standard of that which God has, by the Holy Spirit's power, signified as truth, and endorsed and immortalized as the truth. The truth stands in publications written by men who have taken precious care of the truth. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 to 17. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1-5. We have a most solemn work before us. Read Revelation 3, verse 1-3. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Because they were giving up the light of truth which God had permitted to shine upon their pathway to establish them in the faith. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This whole chapter is our lesson. It is the science of soul saving, if we will take heed. There are souls ready to perish in their sins who are to be labored for. God calls for workers to bring souls, through the presentation of the truth, to be converted from their sins, and these converted souls are to speak the words of truth to others. As they live in newness of life, their testimonies are just what is needed at this time. Many will make efforts in weakness, but Christ says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29-30. Let these converted souls make their efforts in unpracticed weakness. Let them speak words from a heart softened and subdued by the grace of Christ. In their new experience, they will have words that come not from studying science, but the life and words of Christ are so precious to their souls they cannot keep silent. There is a fervor, a depth of earnest experience they are obtaining. They sing many a song of joy and praise to God, and if they will follow on to walk in newness of life, they will reach many souls through their honest words or recital of the grace of God. If they work out the grace that Christ works in, their voices will be attuned for singing the triumphs of the grace of Christ. If they believe in Jesus, Christ gives them power to make them the sons of God, and amid this crooked and perverse nation, to shine as lights in our world. As by continuing to study Christ, they come into His perfect likeness and fullness of joy, what a power would attend their testimonies. Please read the first, second, and third chapters of the first epistle of John. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. 1 John 2, verse 3-5. Here is the science of salvation. If every soul will study this science, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He will find the problem of true science solved. The lawyer's question of Christ, Christ laid distinctly upon Himself to answer. What is written in the law? How readest thou? Luke 10, verse 25-26. He does not go into a scientific problem, but He presents truth, clear and unadulterated. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Christ responds decidedly, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Verses 27-28. That lawyer was being convicted through the teaching of Christ that he did not love God supremely, nor his neighbor as himself, and he said, "Who is my neighbor?" Verse 29. He was not left in the dark. There is related the history of the wounded man. Please read in Luke 10 of how he was treated by the highest authority of the Jewish rulers. While a Samaritan passed that way and saw him and did not pass by on the other side, but alighted from his beast, relieved his wounds the best he could, and then put him upon his own beast and led the animal, keeping diligent and strict watch of his charge until he came to an inn where he left him, paid for the care he should receive, and promised to settle the bill
if it amounted to more.
The question before that congregation of people was, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered distinctly, he that showed mercy on him. Other voices blended with the lawyer's. Jesus said, go, and do thou likewise. Verses 36-37. This practical lesson, set before that group of people, opened many blind eyes. This is the science of genuine Christianity, and no soul needs any higher science or any more elevating and ennobling science than that which was before them that day. It does not take years of study to understand the pure, simple, unadulterated science of Christianity. It is a science which has not one line of selfishness in it, nothing which the simplest understanding may not grasp. In this answer, all may act a part intelligently if they desire. Many choose to deal in the subtleties of a science which involves the mind in intricacies which need not to be at all, if that mind is willing to give up its own stubborn determination to work upon the plan on which Satan chose to work. Such an one will never see Christ as he is. He will never see the truth in its purity, in its ennobling, grand, sanctifying principles. But he chooses to take satanic substitutes for his religious faith. Nothing can save him. He will be lost, eternally lost. And those who have helped him in his infatuation and delusive sentiments will become misled. And notwithstanding that the light has shone with a distinctive power, they will not come to the light, lest their deeds shall be reproved. They loved darkness rather than the light, and darkness they will have. The Lord will not save a man in his sins, but if he comes with a broken heart and contrite spirit, he will save him from his sins. This is the only science of salvation. If he confesses his sins, God will pardon. If he will choose to retain his sins and risk the consequence, he will be united unto satanic agencies and perish with the author of sin.